remember years ago, our family, we were kind of on a hike or walk. We found ourselves in Genesee Valley Park. That's over by the University of Rochester. It's kind of, we're there with my wife's sister and her family. And we're walking through that area, and we came up on a building, and on the side of the building are long, I would call, boats. Jay, did you ever do crew? No. So they have crew teams, and crew is, it's like rowing, but a little more, I don't know how to describe it. The boats are real thin. It's not like a canoe, all right? And it's very calculated, and I read a little bit about that. I mean, it just seems like one of those prestigious Ivy League type of activities, and it just seemed neat, you know, the crew teams, and read a little bit about it, and rowing drains the athlete mentally and physically. It is because you are constantly correcting and adjusting a little bit because you are in the elements, but at the same time, you're working as a team together. And crew teams could be a number of people in the boat, and it's not usually just the team has multiple people in the boat. Depending on the size of the boat, depends on what, you know, how many they compete. So you're trying to adjust not only off of the elements, but you're constantly taking into consideration what other people are doing, because it just, a lot goes into it. And then the physical toil of just pulling against the water. What the rowers seek is something called swing. Swing is the moment when all the members row as one. It is harmony of rowing without loss of efficiency in perfect union. And when I thought about that, I thought, yeah, that's what we as Christians should be longing for. Working together as a unit without loss of efficiency. May I say, for a small church, I feel like we do this well. And I say, in what way? And I just, you know, thinking about that baskets and missions conference coming up, and already hands are going up to help. Our bus went down. All right, now what do we do? Well, we're going to have to get the kids here. All right, I'll help. I'll pick up kids. And I just want to commend you on that and how important it is to cooperate and work together. In Romans chapter number 12, it says, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Romans 12:5. Although we are individuals, much like that rowing team, we're working as one unit. We're the church. And yes, we have individual rowers tonight. You look around and go, where is everybody? Well, there's a lot of people down the hall. We have teachers. We have nursery workers. We have kids in classes. And there's some that are serving to that degree, teaching, have learned lessons. And although we are many members, we're working together, one as one unit. This truth instructs and motivates us to cooperate in the work of the Lord. If in that crew team, one guy says, you know what, I think it's time for a McDonald's stop. Let's run to Dunkin' real quick. And I'm going to try and take the boat this way. And everybody's trying to go that way. Hey, there would be some conflict. Say, well, thankfully that doesn't happen in the church. Well, it shouldn't. And that's why Paul and the writers of the New Testament are so adamant about unity amongst the brethren. Philippians 1:27 says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Hey, why don't you put your own agenda aside, he's saying, and put your own affairs aside and say, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're all going to work for the ministry of the gospel. And that's what the church is. It's for the faith of the gospel. It's to bring honor and glory to God. Say, yeah, but I want to. It doesn't matter which way you want to row. This is the way that God has directed. And how important that is. How important it is to cooperate and work together as we serve the Lord together. That's what we're doing. And although we are many members, we are all part of something. What the Bible describes as the body of Christ, and that is important. And each one is important. If you look at that crew team, and there is no one person. Say, well, this is our all-star. Hey, everybody's got to work together. You see that sometimes in sports other than crew. And I would say two of the best players in all of baseball play on the same team, yet they can't get into the playoffs. Why is that? Well, because the team isn't made of just two players. Hey, this church isn't made of just two people, four people, one family, two families. We all serve the Lord together. Philippians 2:2 says, fulfill ye my joy that ye be, what? Like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Hey, God says a lot about being on the same page one with another, to cooperate with one another. What does cooperate mean? It means working and dwelling in unity with God and with the believers. It's rowing in the same direction. It's pointed in as it said, striving together. Hey, it's work. No one's sitting back in the crew team. Hey, I'm going to take this leg off. I'm just going to sit over here and sip a little Arnold Palmer while everybody else rows. No. If you don't know what Arnold Palmer, that's where you take like iced tea and lemonade and mix it. Just happy. It's good. It sounds really good right now. Doesn't it? I could go for one of them. Not the light stuff either. I want like full sugar. Anyways, okay, never mind. Well, I'm just going to sit back and let the boat pull me. Be careful. It's a striving together. It's not resting together. It's not laying back together. Well, you row while I just sit here and enjoy the ride. No, we strive together. We work together. We serve together. Some of the best times you'll have is serving the Lord with others. Get involved in things. Cooperate together. Cooperating together, what does it require? Unity. And that unity requires help. Unity requires God's help. Because when we're left to ourselves, we quarrel and fight. Say, how do you know? Leave your kids alone. Just leave them alone. See what happens. That's my toy. I don't say that doesn't happen. James chapter number 4. James, the book of James. Chapter 4, verse 1. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Why are you asking that, James? Because there are wars and fightings amongst. Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Say, what's the problem? Oh, the devil. No, your sinful flesh is the problem. We're going to need God's help in this. If we're going to strive together of one accord, of one mind, same love for the faith of the gospel, we're going to need God's help. Because we have a lot of sinners trying to get involved in that. And just like a marriage, you take two sinners and you bring them together and go, there shouldn't be any strife. There's going to be strife because you have two sinful people. Hey, this is much more than just two. All of us. So we got to keep things in check. Look at Philippians chapter number 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians chapter number 4. Look at verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Then he has these words to say. I beseech Yodius and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord, indicating that these two ladies had a little strife together. It appears that they had a disagreement. Paul warned them this should not be so. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. Hey, give them a hand. Hey, help work things out. It would be really beneficial if these two, although they're at odds, have been helpful in the past. It would be really great if someone could get to them, work with them, help them resolve their conflict, because we got the Lord's work to do. That's what Paul says. Get some help. John chapter number 17 and verse 21. As Christ is praying, he says in verse 21 that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. This is the prayer of Jesus, is that we'd be unified. That we would cooperate one with another. That we would serve the Father together. And I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Hey, look at that. Cooperation between believers is a testimony to the world. A witness to the power of God. To undo, why? Because everybody knows everybody's got a sinful, selfish desire. And when an entity works together, moving not for their own cause, but for the cause of Christ, someone's got to look back and go, wow, something special is going on there. Because man's nature is not for that to happen like that. Who's trying to get glory? God's trying to get glory. And God says, that's gonna testify to the world. Unity is a demonstration of the love of God. Listen, swing won't happen every time we work together with one another, but it should be our aim. Every time that crew team over there in the University of Rochester or at RIT, I think they docked at the same spot, and every time they go rowing, it is every time they pull on that water, it is not that perfect unison, but that's what they're striving for. Hey, every time we serve the Lord, it doesn't always go 100% smooth. I understand that. Well, this person said this to me, and they didn't let me, and I thought I was gonna, and there was miscommunication. I understand. But try to cooperate. Try and do it together. Our aim ought to be efficiency for serving the Lord. Strive to work side by side in unity. Hey, remember, God is working in you, but He's also working in the person sitting next to you that you're trying to serve with. That we're all works in progress. That none of us will be perfect until we get to glory. So cut each other some slack. Well, it's not perfect. I understand, but tell me what you ever touched was perfect. Ever start a home project, bud? Does it ever go perfect? It, for Bud, he's an expert. Not me. Either the first bolt is the most discouraging or the last one. Man, oh, just one more. I just got to take one more bolt out. And then you got to get the welder. The scriptures are the instrument by which it brings us together. It unifies us. It helps shape us, it molds us, it directs us, it trains us. Right now, there's teachers teaching young people, but in those same classes are young people in between the young people and the adults learning how to minister. And they're watching the Word of God not just be spoken, but be demonstrated. What is going to unify us? Why on October 7th am I saying, hey, let's get together and just read the scriptures together? Because there's nothing in the amongst the body of Christ that will unify it better than the Word of God. And I want to strengthen our men. I think that would be a bonding time. The purpose of it is to get together and read the Word of God and just let God speak to our hearts and see a fellowship around God's Word. I think God would just be pleased with that. Scriptures are the instrument used to shape, mold, direct, and train us. Go to Psalm 19. tough to read Psalm 19 and not sing it, but we'll do our best. Say, Pastor, you've sung enough the last couple services. I think we're about done with that. All right, that's fine. Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Look at what God's word does. It unifies. It's able to convert the soul. Why are we going to Selden Square? Because we want to see souls converted. Why every week do we open up the Word of God and preach the gospel? Because we want to see souls converted. And only the Word of God can do that. Why do we invite people to church? For that same purpose. And the same, to make wise the simple. I just don't understand things. Let's get the Word of God. Why do we have a Bible Institute? To study the Scriptures. Why do we teach the Scriptures? Why do we have a Christian school? Because we want to make wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right. Look at what happens. With the unity of the Scriptures, what is it? Rejoicing the heart. And it's wonderful to serve side by side with one another. It's wonderful when God gets glory by our actions and with pure hearts. Hey, that rejoices the heart. Hey, I'm going to ask you here, how are you serving the Lord together? What is it that you're doing? Are you cooperating in the Spirit? I like this. Look at what it says. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And you get the Word of God inside of you, all of a sudden you can see things clearly. Shows you for what it is. There is no greater work in which to cooperate than in growing in Christ and sharing Christ. That's our desire here. To help one another grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. But at the same time, how about people hearing about it for the very first time? I don't know, Pastor, some shady-looking characters that praise the Lord. I'm looking to see some souls converted. I had someone grab me in the hall this past week. I had two people in the last 2 weeks say, Pastor, I'd like to get baptized. Man, that's great. Little person. I got down on a knee and I said, can you tell me about when you got saved? And they said, yes, I was in my room and I did. And then I went and talked to mommy and they told me how I got saved and I was 4 years old. That's wonderful. And I had another lady, she said, Pastor, I want to get baptized. I said, well, all right, let's talk, because it's not baptized. But we're working on it. Hey, there's a desire in people that they want to grow. And I am glad to be part of that. Glad to be around that. Psalm 133. Verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Ever been at, I'm sure you've never have, but ever been at odds with your spouse? Never, right? Never. I've only read about it, Brother Warner. Read books and things. Seen it in movies. But, hey, it's neither good nor pleasant, is it? No one wants that. No one wakes up in the morning and goes, man, I hope today my spouse and I, we get into a just brawl. And I hope I win this time. No. No. What do you pray for? Peace and unity. Because that's good and that's pleasant. It's no different in the church house. And how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together and unity. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to serve the Lord together in unity. The Bible says it's like precious ointment. Hey, it's just wonderful. It's beyond value. You have peace in your home? Mr. B, you work into some pretty fancy houses with people and highfalutin, whatever. You have a peaceful home, they would trade it in a second. That's what we ought to strive for. Serving the Lord with the spirit of cooperation. I think God would just be pleased with it. Again, you all do so well with it. I feel like it's one of our strengths. But don't let the devil get in there and ruffle feathers. Hey, even in the early church, hey, I heard about Eutychus and Syntyche. There's an issue. Can someone help these ladies? Because they've done so much good, but I'd hate for them to fall by the wayside of the ministry. Can someone get to them and help them resolve their conflict so they could cooperate and work in unity? Paul knew the value of unity. Be careful. The devil would want nothing more than schisms, divisions amongst one another. Let's all stand tonight and we'll pray.